welcome to Thriving as a Physician, the podcast that teaches you to thrive in your weight loss and life while juggling a packed physician schedule, because you deserve to thrive. Each week, I share sustainable, enjoyable tools that work in your busy life so that you can reach all of your goals faster with more confidence. Everything in this podcast is backed by my experience as an obesity medicine physician, years of coaching physicians on weight loss and eating, and my own personal weight loss journey. Let's get thriving. This podcast contains general educational information on weight loss for physicians. I am not providing medical advice, and listening to this podcast does not create a physician-patient relationship. This podcast does not replace the need for consultation with a licensed professional, and no information should be relied upon unless you have obtained specific advice or treatment from myself or another physician. Please review the terms and conditions located at www.weightsolutionsforphysicians.ca before continuing. Hello and welcome to episode 284 of the Thriving as a Physician podcast. I'm your host, Siobhan Key. Thank you so much for joining me. I have one that I think is going to be really helpful for you today. We are talking about mindless eating. Now, many, many physicians struggle with mindless eating, and it's that type of eating where it feels like it just happened. You blink and your hand's in the chip bowl, or you blink and those cookies are all gone. And it doesn't even feel like there's space between when you see the food and when you start to eat. It's just like it just happens so quickly. And this is a challenge, right? Because then if we're thinking about, okay, how do I create change in this eating when I don't even know that it's about to happen? Well, in today's episode, I'm going to talk to you about this and teach you how can you start to create change? How can you start to actually create space in this eating so that you do catch it? There is time to notice it before it happens, and where you can create change without just telling yourself you're not allowed to eat, because we know that does not work. It just makes you feel horrible. It takes all your energy and it actually isn't effective. So let's use better tools, and I'm going to teach you them inside this episode. So make sure you hang out and listen throughout it. Now, being a physician and struggling with your eating is tough. It's hard. It feels like it's hard to find help that is safe for you to talk about what's really going on and where they truly understand what you are going through and what your life looks like. But the reality is you deserve to be able to honor your health and reach any goals that you have in a way that feels really good, where you do not feel restricted or deprived. And that's why I created Thrive Academy for Physicians. I created it so that you don't have to do this alone, so that you can benefit from my years of experience of doing it in my own life as a busy physician, but also helping many, many, many physicians change their eating and feel really good about how they eat while they go after their health goals. You can benefit from that by joining Thrive Academy for Physicians. And it's simple. You just head over to start2thrive.ca, fill out a short application form, and tell me a bit about yourself. Then we book a time for us to talk directly so that you can know that this is a really good fit for you. And then you join with confidence and get instant access to a library of support that helps you as a physician in your real life change your eating for good so that you're never needing another diet again, because you understand how you can change your eating in a way that really works for you. And ultimately, you can become one of those people that doesn't have to worry about food. You know, those people you see where you're like, why does it seem like they're not even bothered by this food that's sitting out? You actually can be that person. You can go from feeling like you're completely out of control around food to being the type of person that can be around, you know, very tempting foods and not be bothered. And I can show you how. And the reality is, trying to do it on your own may seem like a good idea, right? Like, as doctors, we're like, I know what I need to be eating. I just have to get myself to do it. And it may feel like if you just put a little more work in, you're going to be able to do this. But unless you do something different, your eating's probably not going to change, or at least not change in a sustainable way. And what I teach inside Thrive Academy is completely different from anything we ever learned in medical school, completely different from anything that you find in the diet Facebook groups or in the different diet plans and diet books. We really work on meeting you where you're at so that you end up with a really personalized, customized approach that feels good, that you can picture yourself doing for the rest of your life, and that actually fits into your life. So if that sounds great, then it's time to apply. Head over to start2thrive.ca. That's start2thrive.ca. Fill in your application, and I can't wait to welcome you into Thrive Academy. So let's talk about mindless eating. And like I mentioned at the beginning, this comes up a lot when I'm working with physicians inside Thrive Academy for physicians about just that idea of what do I do when the eating just seems to happen? When I'm not even intentionally deciding to eat, it just happens. And that's what I'm going to talk to you about today. And I think it's worthwhile starting with why does mindless eating happen? Why does this type of eating happen for physicians? And I think there's a few different reasons. Number one is just being distracted and multitasking. Like, raise your hand if the majority of your day is spent multitasking in some way. Like, you're doing one thing, but you're thinking about the other things that you need to be doing, and you're constantly juggling multiple stuff. Thinking about where you need to be next and how you're going to get there on time, and thinking about what you still have to finish up from the last thing you were doing, right? Like, it's constantly multitasking. And so when we are always multitasking, always slightly distracted, it just means sometimes stuff, there can be behaviors like eating that can happen without awareness. So if our awareness and our attention is focused on what's going on in our brain and our multitasking, the stuff we have to do, then we may not be putting awareness into the action of eating. So that's a really interesting point, because it can be happening and it may not actually be happening as quickly as you think it is. It's just that you may not be putting your awareness on it because your brain's off thinking about something else, right? This would be like an example would be how you can do weird stuff sometimes when you're off multitasking. So you're in your brain thinking about a bunch of stuff and you end up like putting your keys down somewhere that you would never put them down and not being able to find them for a while, just because when you put them down, your attention was not on where you were putting your keys. There was still things happening in your brain to put those keys down in that spot. And you may even have had a thought of, oh, remember, I put these here. But because your attention wasn't focused on it, it doesn't code in your memory in the same way. And you may not have awareness after the fact that you did that. I think the mindless eating can be very similar, because we spend our day rushing around, thinking about everything. Even in the evenings, you're probably still winding through either stuff you still have to do that evening or the things that happen in the day, thinking about all the stuff if you've got kids that you have to do for them, that we don't often put a lot of attention on our eating. And so it can feel like it happens really quickly just because we're distracted and thinking about something else, which is fine, right? Like, be careful as you work on this that you don't blame yourself for something that is normal. It's just useful to understand, okay, why might this be happening to me? That's one reason. Second is being disconnected from your body, just not even having awareness of hunger or satiety signals, which is super common. If you are a physician and you're like, I don't even know, like, those signals are broken. That's something that was said in one of the coaching call last week, I think. We were talking about hunger and satiety, and one of the physicians in the call said, those signals are just broken in my body. And I think that's a very common experience for physicians. We live our life from the neck up, right? We are cerebral throughout our day, and we've actually been taught to ignore what happens from our neck down. Our body signals like fatigue, hunger, needing to pee, just needing a break, all of that we've been taught to ignore and keep going. And it's part of, yes, part of being a physician, but I think it gets taken too far. Like, we get taught to do that in med school and we internalize, okay, being a doctor means I need to do the medicine at any cost to myself. But then when we finish all our training, we just keep doing that and we keep doing the medicine, doing the job, and at any cost to ourselves, and also doing everything else at any cost to ourselves. Like, it just becomes this life theme that we carry forward. And it has all sorts of impacts to you, right? Like, if you just listen to that sentence, like doing everything regardless of the cost to yourself, you can see why you may end up reaching for food more than you would like, right? You can see how living your life that way drives a lot of eating. Because if you are running everything without even considering your own needs, your brain will try to address your needs in some way or another. And often that's food. So the being disconnected from your body is normal. It is common, but it does have an impact in that if we never, ever, ever check in with our hunger and satiety signals, we never even notice, am I actually hungry right now? Am I feeling full right now? Then we'll often eat when we're not hungry, eat past what we actually need, not notice that we're full until later. And that can all be part of the mindless eating, right? Like if you're actually kind of full from lunch and you catch yourself eating the snacks in the lounge without really thinking about it, and then you get uncomfortably full, it's probably an element of you may not even have noticed that you were a little bit full still from lunch because we don't even ask ourselves the question. Nor, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this, nor is it safe often to ask us that question. It doesn't feel safe because if you're looking at that thing in the lounge, that treat, and you think that if you ask yourself, am I hungry? You might not be allowed, quote unquote, to eat that treat. That may not feel safe to you because that treat may be playing another role for you. It may be that your brain is thinking, it's been a really hard day. We need a break. That looks like a good way to have a break. And if you check in and ask yourself if you're hungry and you worry that then that means you don't get that treat, what you're actually worrying about is I might not get that break. So sometimes because of how we've been taught to think about our food, because of how we've been taught to manage our eating, checking in with your signals, checking in with your body may actually not feel safe. And again, that's okay if that's where you're at. And it's something to notice and be like, oh, that's interesting that that's the place I'm at. And then we can work on it, right? There's nothing wrong with any of this. It's about understanding where you are right now and what might be influencing your eating right now so that you know where to focus and where to work on creating change. The third one, which ties into what I was just talking about, is guilt about your eating. The idea that I should not be eating that food often will drive mindless eating because then our brain's like, but I want to eat that food and you're telling me I shouldn't be eating it. So I'm just going to do it super quickly and not let you notice that I'm eating that food, right? It's like distract you over here and then we'll eat really quickly over on the other side so that you don't even notice that it's happening. The fourth one is that the eating's helping with something else, right? If the eating, like the example of the treat in the lounge, if the eating is the break and it's the only break you've allowed yourself in the day, again, if there's this fear that if you noticed it was happening, that you might not actually allow it to happen, that can drive the mindless eating. And it can feel like a really powerful drive because your brain is viewing that food as fixing something important for you. There is an underlying need your brain is trying to address with that food that can drive it and make it happen so quickly that you don't even notice it. Like if you're sitting there thinking, oh my God, I'm so busy. There's so much stuff to do and I don't even have time and I haven't had a break and I'm exhausted. And your brain's like, here, let's have a break. Quickly, do it fast because you have so much to do. That can drive that kind of mindless eating. The wandering down to the break room at around 3 p.m. and finding yourself eating the snacks that maybe even at lunch were there and you were like, ah, I don't need those right now. And all of a sudden at 3 p.m. you're eating them. Again, it could be that you're eating them for a reason beyond food, that your brain views it as helping with something else. So those are the reasons why you might be mindlessly eating. There may be others I haven't covered. I think just asking yourself, why is it that I think I do this? And you may get the answer back, I don't know, right? Because we have been taught to be disempowered with our eating. We've been taught to pretend like we don't know anything about our eating. So then you can answer that with, if I did know, what might it be? Or let's just brainstorm, brain. Let's come up with a few different answers why I might have this mindless eating when it's happening. And that can really help you because if you can figure out for you what the real reasons are, it helps you know where to focus when you're trying to intervene. Okay, so how do you make it better? How do you make mindless eating better? Number one, I would just start with noticing the times you mindlessly eat. Now, because we're talking about eating that happens really, really quickly, it likely will be that you notice it after you've already eaten. And that is totally 100% fine. Noticing that you've eaten something after you've already eaten is a powerful place to learn. It is okay if that is where you're starting to learn. And as I'm saying this, I'm thinking back to when I was working on trying to figure out the Wendy's French fry thing for myself. It was while I was eating, maybe even the first times, it was after I'd already eaten. Because I would qualify this as fairly mindless, like the reflex to head to that drive-through, it was kind of like autopilot feeling. And so it was often after the actual eating that I started to notice and be curious. And that's the second step for you, is get curious and try to see the real reason. So if we stick with my example that I'm giving you of the Wendy's French fries, I would be like, oh, hey, I noticed that I just went through that drive-through again. What was it about today? I wonder what was going on. And just got really curious to see if I could start to understand. Because back then, when I'd be like, why do I keep doing this? Why do I keep going through this drive-through? I got that answer that I talked about just before, is, I don't know. And as long as I was thinking, I don't know, the answer I ultimately came up with in those moments was that it must then be something to do about the French fries, that they are irresistible, or it must be something to do with me, that I have a problem with French fries and I am uncontrollable around French fries. And as long as I was thinking that, I couldn't create change, because you'll notice both of those are really disempowering beliefs. If I believe French fries are irresistible, and that's my core belief, anytime I'm around French fries, I will eat them because they are irresistible. And that's exactly what happened to me for years and years and years. If I believe I have a problem with French fries, that I'm unable to change my eating, and I have no choice because of this internal defect, again, pretty disempowering. And if that's my core belief, if there's French fries as an option, what's going to happen? I'm going to eat them, right? So looking at shifting it, instead of that, I don't know, to let me try and figure this out. Let me get curious about why it might. If it wasn't just an issue with that food, why might you have been choosing to eat it? If it's not just that you have some magical food defect, like what I was thinking about with my Wendy's French fries, if that's not the case, why might you have chosen to eat it? What might have been going on? This takes practice. You're going to find that what'll happen is initially, like I said, it'll be after you've already eaten. It may take some practice after you've already eaten. As you go, it might be while you eat. You might start to be like, oh, hey, I'm eating again. And then you start to get curious and you start to ask yourself questions, but you don't actually have to stop eating. And that's important, because if you're like, okay, if I build awareness of this and then I need to stop myself right away, again, like we talked about earlier, it may not feel safe to build awareness, because if your brain thinks that food is fixing something for you, and as soon as you become aware that you're eating, you will shut it down, it might not feel safe. And so you may never build awareness. You need to be like, yeah, I'm going to start practicing becoming aware when I'm doing this. And especially at the beginning, it's okay if I continue to eat. I can learn while I'm eating. I know that that's a really different approach than what you probably tried for yourself, but trust me, this is a better way. It's more effective to work with your brain rather than trying to battle it and be against it. It's never effective to try to battle your own brain. Your brain's trying to help you. These are ways that you can actually work with it instead of trying to wrestle it. So then as you move forward, as that awareness progresses from after you've eaten to while you're eating, what you want to work on is if you can just create a little pause between the idea that you're going to eat and the actual eating. And this will take practice too. So don't panic. You don't have to be perfect. I know we love to be perfect. You do not have to be perfect. This can take some time. The patterns of the mindless eating have probably been there for a very long time for you. They're not going to change overnight. Practicing just creating a pause, just being like, can I just take that moment between when I decide to eat and when I reach for the food and just stretch it out just a tiny little bit? And if I can stretch it out just a tiny little bit, can I stretch it just a little bit further, a little bit further? Now, the really important piece with this, when you're creating a pause, is you need to honor the fact that you can eat whatever you want. If you're trying to create a pause so that you never, ever, ever eat food that you feel like you shouldn't be eating, again, I doubt it's going to be really successful for you. And I 100% don't think it's going to feel good. It's going to feel a little like you're forcing yourself. You got to force yourself to take a pause. If instead you're saying to yourself, totally could eat that, 100% I get to make that choice, I'm just going to pause here for 1 second before I make the decision. Very different feeling. Gives you space to consider what you actually want to do and what the food might be trying to help you with. So again, in that pause, you can then use it to be curious as you create the pause while honoring that you could totally eat it. Again, if you say, I'm going to create a pause and tell myself I'm not allowed to eat that. If you're anything like me, you're going to rebel against that and shut it down and be like, yeah, screw the pause. We are not pausing if it means we don't get to eat that. But if you're like, I'm going to create a pause and I can totally still eat it. I always can eat that food. And I'm just going to ask myself, okay, why is it that I want this food right now? And here's a really good question that I like. If I truly could eat this food at any time, which you can, that's the truth, why would I want to eat it right now? Or do I want to eat it right now? And you can think, okay, if I eat it, what's that going to look like? How am I going to feel? What impact will it have on me? And if I just choose not to eat it just in this moment, what will that be like? How will it feel? What impact might it have on my day? And then also another good question is, how else could I address that need? If when you've been curious, you've come up with, okay, I think I need a break. It's not about don't eat and don't get a break. I think we have to be really careful when we think about taking away these coping strategies, which if you're listening to this podcast, I assume is food for you. If we think about taking away those coping strategies, often we're taking away the role they would play in our life. And again, that's one of the reasons why it feels so uncomfortable. So if in your curiosity, if we go back to the lounge example, you've realized, okay, this is the first break I've taken today and I'm pretty actually tired and thirsty and maybe I need to pee. Then if you make the decision that you aren't going to eat that food, you need to decide, how am I going to address those needs? You can still have a break. Maybe there's a break you could do that would be more restorative than quickly jamming some food in your face, right? Like maybe going pee and having a drink of water, stretching slightly, shaking it off, and then heading back might be more restorative than the sneaking down to the break room and trying to eat quickly before anybody comes in and sees that you're doing it, which if you identify that is really common. Lots of physicians talk to me about that. So you want to just notice the times that you're doing this, get curious about what might be underneath it, work on creating that pause while making a very safe place so that your brain doesn't worry, you're just going to take it away. And then while honoring that you could eat anything, give yourself space to look at both sides and address the underlying need as you discover it through more effective mechanisms. Don't just take the eating away and not address that need. That's not fair and it's not going to be successful. Your brain has identified that there's a need and it will keep coming back to it in some way. And it generally does not choose the most effective ways to address needs until you've really practiced and trained it. Have some practice with that. Think about it over this week. Notice the times that you're mindlessly eating. Play around with this. Now, I mentioned like this is something that probably is pretty deeply ingrained. You've probably had a lot of years of having the mindless eating. And so it's not going to go away overnight. And you may find that you can focus on it and then you lose your focus because life gets in the way and life's busy. And all of that is okay. The more you just redirect yourself back to it, the better you're going to build these skills. It takes practice. It takes repetition. It takes patience with yourself, but it is absolutely doable. You can completely change how you relate to food, even in these most mindless type settings that you've experienced. And as I mentioned before, if you really struggle with eating like this, or you struggle with binge eating or stress or emotional eating, and it's getting in the way of taking care of your health as a physician, come join us inside Thrive Academy for Physicians, because you deserve to have more effective solutions and you deserve to have a place where you don't have to do all the work. That's a benefit of joining us in Thrive Academy is that you've got me. Instead of listening to me on a podcast, you actually get to talk to me directly and say, hey, Siobhan, this is what's going on in my life. How do I fix it? And you get to benefit from my years of experience of helping physicians through this so that you create change more quickly with less work on your part. And you end up spending way less time thinking about food and yet reaching your health goals, feeling like it's happening without any effort or with much less effort. And this is an important point, being confident that you have the skills to keep it going for the rest of your life, where you understand you're eating to such a level after the 6 months in this program that you don't have to worry about the next holiday season. You don't have to worry about going on vacation. You don't have to worry if a huge event happens in your life that throws off your eating, because you know how to problem solve it. You know how to get back to what works for you. That's a beauty, and that's what we do differently inside this program. I'd love to have you in. Head over to start2thrive.ca. That's start2thrive.ca to learn more about Thrive Academy for Physicians and to fill out your application form. Like I said, fill out the application form. It's quick. Tell me about yourself. Then we set up a time to chat to make sure that this is a really good fit for you. Then you join and we get going right away so that you can start reaching your goals. And even 3 months from now, you are going to have experiences where you're around food that normally you may have mindlessly eaten. And you're all of a sudden like, oh, I didn't even think to eat it. I wasn't even bothered by it. And I wasn't working to not be bothered by it. I love it when those stories happen, and they happen very regularly inside Thrive Academy. So head over to start2thrive.ca and let's get going. Let's change your eating so you never need another diet again. We'll talk to you later. Have a fantastic day, guys. Bye-bye.